Why, yes, it is time to bring back the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. He'll be with us every Thursday during the upcoming football and basketball season as the voice of the Jayhawks ready to call the game coming up on Saturday. He gets to sleep in maybe a little bit. The game is until 9 o'clock, pregame at 8:30 on Z96.3 Lake as KU will host Coastal Carolina, a rematch of a game played a few years ago where Coastal Carolina pulled off the upset and won 12-7. Brian, it's just good to hear your voice again, my man. How's everything been for you since we last spoke?
Hey, doing great. Great to be on with you, Wade. Appreciate you having me back this year. Appreciate Matt Anderson from the Anderson Insurance Agency for continuing to support these reports for now 5 seasons with you, so that's a lot of fun. But, you know, it's obviously been a weird half year. You know, what day is today? The 10th of September, so you know, we're coming up on exactly 6 months from the day everything came to a screeching halt, March the 12th in Kansas City, and I think I was on the phone with you that morning.
Yes.
You were the last person I talked to before I went downstairs to take pregame with Bill Self. And then Sean Lester, the associate AD, like closes the doors and says, guys, we've got breaking news. And your heart sank. And obviously at the time we didn't know the NCAA tournament would be canceled too. But, you know, what a wild 6 months it's been. And the fact that, you know, we're going to take the field here coming up on Saturday, 6 months to the day after it all stopped, I think you have to have a feeling of gratitude in your heart as a Kansas fan, and certainly as someone who is employed to cover Kansas, you know, this is my livelihood, yeah. Just that we're back out there at all in any capacity, especially when you see other conferences not playing. And honestly, with 3 Big 12 teams at the time of today's episode not playing this weekend because of minor COVID outbreaks, or in some cases major COVID outbreaks, I'm grateful and certainly excited to get out there and see what we can do. Hard to say what it's going to look like when we're only going to get one non-con game and then boom, you're in the teeth of the Big 12 race. And obviously this is a team that did not get spring football way back in the spring. Coastal Carolina, by the way, got all 15 practices in, so that'll be interesting. But the point is, no matter what it looks like, just to be back and just to have something like this, which not only unites a fan base and gives us a nice distraction in the midst of some really trying times as a nation, but also to call it like it is. I mean, college football is a $4 billion industry, would it be? And so it's not about lining the pockets of the high-end people necessarily. It's about keeping the middle and entry-level people employed and afloat financially and giving these students a chance to attain their dreams and go after things in college and beyond. And so for all those reasons, I think we're really excited about Saturday.
It has been a very, very, very long 6 months, no question about it. But here we are, football season opened up on Saturday at 9 p.m. kickoff. Give us an update on where things stand, because lots of information ever since this broke back in March with COVID-19. There's so much information trying to decipher it, numbers being thrown out left and right in regards to amount of cases. Then there's active cases. I still think it's ridiculous to worry about total cases that because most of those have already recovered. The only number we should really worry about, in my opinion, is active cases. Those are the ones you really need to worry about. So where are we with the KU football team in regards to active cases? And do we have a particular threshold, whether it be from the university or from the conference, as to, hey, there's too many people that have tested positive, so thus you must postpone your game?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're spot on in saying that it's all about active. And so what the magic number is, I'm not sure. But when those reports came out yesterday from KDHE, which is the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and it talked about 14 COVID cases for the Kansas football team, that's in the previous 28 days that have had positive test results within the program. But there are 3 active cases among football student-athletes right now. And 3, you know, football players is not going to be enough to derail the game like we've seen with Baylor or Oklahoma State or TCU and their opponents, you know, for this weekend. And so we're excited. I know the Chanticleers are getting on a plane tomorrow and planning on coming up here, you know, barring any type of outbreak that were to happen there in the next 24 hours. And so for 7 of the 10 teams in the league, you're kind of white-knuckling it to the finish line here, hoping that you know, everything goes okay. But it is such a fluid situation, and I don't know the answer of this 3 go to 15 and suddenly you're out. I'm not sure what that magic number is, but you know, you're getting tested 3 times weekly. It's now a spit that they take. I've done both of them in the last 6 weeks just to, in order to be around these guys. The first test, obviously, for anybody that's had it in your listening audience, they stick something up your nose. It feels like it goes all the way to your brain. Mm. I joked with Coach Miles last night on Hawk Talk. I thought they pulled out a piece of my cerebellum when they brought it back down. But, yeah, that one's not fun. And it's also, you know, something that takes a little bit longer. This other one, you just talk a couple loogies, and next thing you know, within 24 hours, they run the spit sample DNA testing and all that and COVID testing, and you're back, hopefully, with a clean bill of health and a green light. And so, you know, those are still costly, though. And so, obviously, you know, this is something that in lean economic times for athletic departments everywhere, and yet with player safety being of the utmost importance and the highest priority, it's an absolute must investment. And so, you know, Big 12's mandated that. Kansas and team health has mandated that. And so, you know, we're seeing that happen now three times weekly. And even for the broadcasters, if we're going to be traveling, not with the team, because we're going to go separate everywhere this year because of COVID, but even if we could possibly somehow share an elevator ride at the team hotel with somebody, we need to be tested the day before, because if there's going to be even, you know, 6 feet of proximity and a possible run-in with a player at any point, they want to make sure that personnel, that staff, has been tested and cleared. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, if you watch Hawk Talk on the TV replay, when it airs later today, you know, Coach Miles and I were separated by plexiglass last night. We joked that it felt like we were at a Detroit Red Wings game like he used to go to back in his Michigan days, banging on the glass, you know, at the penalty box. But that's kind of the new reality. And that's the way it'll be inside the broadcast booth, too. If there's three seats in the front row of how we call games, we'll have two towering pieces of plexiglass separating the three seats. And so, for a broadcast crew that, to be candid, David Lawrence likes to toss a football around after every touchdown, won't be able to do that in our little glass cages this year. We can't give high fives. We can't even give fist bumps. So I guess we'll just kind of bang the glass like we're at the NHL, I guess. And hopefully we'll have a lot of glass blinging to do with Jayhawks and this offense really starting to help us wave the week.
That would be great. Brian Haney's appearance on the Sports Ticket, brought to each and every Thursday during the season by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boyd, or call them today, 738-5701. All right, seems like we go through this every single year, even though this is a unique and different year, Brian. I'll ask you the question I've asked you almost every single year, well, 5 years in a row now. And usually we don't even fully know the answer, but I have to ask you anyway, who will be the starting quarterback Saturday night for the KU football team?
Man, we do go through it every year. And, you know, the good news is that I think there's a guy on campus that eventually is going to win that job and settle into it for a period of years, maybe. And even that might be a stretch because it is a position of such great challenge to keep, challenge to stay healthy, great competition. It's the all-important position. And so, you know, Todd Reesing, obviously, as illustrious as he was, you forget, you know, he didn't come on until midway through his freshman year, and then he held it for 3 years after that. But it's not like it was 48 straight games with the same guy. Even the greatest quarterback ever just gave us 3 years of continuity there. And so what I'm getting at is, you know, it's going to be likely Thomas McVitie or Miles Kendrick, you know, that takes the first snap, and if I had to guess, I'd say McVitie on Saturday. He just has the measurables and the tools, and I mean, this is a guy that was coming out of high school, the number eight dual-threat quarterback in the country. But Jalen Daniels is a freshman out of California that Brent Dierman and Coach Miles really gushed about on signing day, the way the ball just explodes out of his hand, his ability to make throws on the run and make things happen with his feet and his arm. And I don't know that you throw him to the Wolves right away, and especially when you didn't have spring ball and preseason's been different, obviously. But we'll see. You know, if one of those veterans takes the job and runs with it, maybe we don't see Daniels, but just in little mop-up duty here or there. Coach does keep saying we could see two quarterbacks on Saturday, and maybe it's two old guys or maybe it's one of them and Daniels. Who knows? Obviously, with the ability to play four games now and still retain a red shirt, you know, it'd be nice to dip his toe in the water some. But what I'm getting at is we may have the quarterback of the future, And we may have a guy that will keep Wade Gerstner from asking that question in the fall of 2021 and the fall of 2022 and all that, because maybe by next season there's more continuity there. But in the meantime, you're right, for the umpteenth year out of umpteen years, here we are literally less than 48 hours away. And, we don't know who it's going to be running out there. And so hopefully that will change and we'll get some continuity at that position, because Kansas fans obviously have not had it in quite some time.
There's certainly some motivations for the KU football team, no doubt, because, one, first of all, it's season opener. It's at home. It's prime time, 9 o'clock in the evening. But it's also against a team that defeated KU a few years ago, and that's not a game that KU looks back on fondly. Talk about that motivation facing Coastal Carolina again so soon after that happened a few years ago.
You know, believe it or not, it was just last season.
Was it really last season?
I know. So much has transpired.
Holy cow.
With COVID and all that, it's kind of hard to remember. But for Les Miles, it'll be hard to forget, because Kansas obviously, did not think that was going to be the case. They'd taken care of Larry Bird's alma mater, Indiana State, the week before, and felt pretty good about themselves heading into that one. They go down and score on their first drive of the game and then get shut out the rest of the way. And if you recall, there was a weird-looking Jayhawk pinata in the John Clear's locker room they were beating the tar out of afterwards. And just all these things stick with you. And, clearly Kansas bounced back. And I was just talking with Joe Cashin yesterday. He's the voice of the Chanticleers. And he said, 6 days later, he's sitting on his couch on a Friday night watching this Kansas team that they'd just beaten for the biggest win in their program's history then take Boston College behind the woodshed in Chestnut Hill. And he's thinking, holy smokes, that's not the Kansas team I just saw 6 days earlier. And I think that was a credit to this coaching staff and to Les Miles and the assistants he surrounded himself with to look that bad 1 week and then come back the next and just put it on that Boston College team. And so, a lot of things clicked in that one. I mean, offensively for Kansas, that was the first game that really saw some of the Brent Dierman RPO being utilized fully. Les Kinning was still the OC, but they kind of turned Stanley and company loose, and that's when they took off. But that's BC. We're talking week two and the loss last season to this Chanticleers team. C.J. Maribel was the running back. It still is. This is his senior season now. He caught this up. And you know what? This Kansas defense, it's got some questions now. I mean, we lost half our starters from a year ago, but you get back Drew Prox, who you'll remember was tackling everybody in the first month last season. He had 39 tackles in 4 games and looked like an all-conference caliber guy before he had a season-ending injury. And he'll be back. You've got some other emerging younger players like Gavin Potter and Stephen Parker that I think excite you. And then, clearly there's some losses in the secondary when you say goodbye to Mike Lee and Bryce Tornade and veteran safety anchors in the back end of the defense you're going to have to replace. And so I don't know, man. I want to believe that the Kansas personnel, even with all that turnover, is still noticeably more talented and should be able to not allow Maribel to run wild. And we could see as many as 3 different quarterbacks from the Chanticleers on Saturday night. And so hopefully they'll do a good job of containing who's ever back there. But they racked up a lot of yards against us, not a lot of points, but a lot of yards, which is what kept their offense on the field and our guys kind of stymied on the sideline last year. And like I said, after that opening drive, we were shut out the rest of the way. And I remember walking out of that press box that night thinking, what in the world just happened? This is going to be national news. Les Miles' first loss at Kansas comes to Sun Belt team and all that. And so make no mistake, while it's not like a bitter pill of nastiness, it don't taste good a year later, and they're remembering that pinata that was getting shown on TV and with the Chanticleers beating the Jayhawks, and so there is a score to settle. And I know the odds makers, for what it's worth, talk about this just being a touchdown margin type game, and maybe that's all it will be. But I think the Jayhawks want to go out and get a win, do so convincingly, and get some momentum heading into that next 9-game stretch, because this is your only tune-up. There's no month of September to kind of get things calibrated. It's one and done, and then off to face a league schedule where just about everybody is projected to go to a bowl game. And when you're the low rung on the ladder trying to build a program, that's pretty daunting, because there's no light week en route to a 9-game league slate like that. So It gets real in a hurry. It gets real on Saturday night, quite frankly. So let's go out and get one.
Yeah, Marble, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns last year. And you're right. September 7th, 2019. Well, that does seem a long, long time ago. But you're right. It's only been a year. That's how crazy everything has been here in society that we've dealt with in America. All right. Time for the off-the-wall question. My family and I were having this conversation at the dinner table last night, so I'm going to allow Brian Haney to kind of telepathically join the dinner table at the Gerstner household. And we were chatting, and somehow it popped up, I don't know how, about the earliest moment of your life that you can remember right now. And so for me, the earliest moment I remember in my life was when I was in kindergarten, and Gerstner is G, of course, alphabetical, and Janet Getz was right next to me alphabetically. We had this little tall cubicle kind of thing where you hung up your jacket and you put your shoes at the bottom. And Janet hurled all over my shoes, filled up my shoes. And that's the earliest moment in my life I remember. Obviously, it was a traumatic experience for me since I remember it 39 years later. What about you? The earliest moment of your life that you can remember right now? Hopefully, it's a little bit more better than mine.
Man, I think I can beat the barf story, especially
Ooh,
on a sports talk radio show.
Excellent.
I don't remember anything about the game, but I remember being in awe of the atmosphere, and I can just remember little pieces of images of a completely jam-packed Royal Stadium, now Kauffman Stadium. Uh-huh. But at the time, October of 1985, and I was 5 years and 4 months old, uh-huh. and my dad somehow scored tickets to one of the World Series games with the Cardinals. And, again, I don't have a ton of memories from it, but I just remember being there and being overwhelmed with the atmosphere as a five-year-old. So many sensory things, from the noise to the impact in of the people and all the celebrations and everything. And so that's my first memory, and it's a pretty dang good one. I ended up getting to go to a World Series with my dad.
Yeah.
Let's see, what's the math? 26 years later, Cardinals-Rangers in St. Louis, just on a whim one day, we decided to do it again.
And
that's been a fun thing for us. But the very first one, I vaguely remember, mm-hmm. and I'm so grateful that he had a chance to take me there, because you never know when those chances come around again. So I always tell people in sports, you ever have a chance to do something,
yep.
just look at the Royals. It took 30 years to get back.
Yep.
So you should go for it, no doubt, no matter how young.
That's exactly right. And I took my oldest, and we were there when they clinched the pennant against the Blue Jays in 15. And I would not trade that memory or the money I spent on the tickets for anything, because it was worth every single penny. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing, my man.
Thank you. And I guess my only curiosity is, if I'm at the Gerstner dinner table, like, what were we eating last night?
My wife made pizza. She made chicken Alfredo pizza and pepperoni sausage marinara from scratch. It was very good and healthier than the regular stuff you get at the store. Yeah.
See, you married well. The Tom Cruise lookalike. It's the girl who's not only cute but also cooks really well. The first couple of Glenn Elder Beloit, man.
Dude, there's no question I'm a very fortunate man, and how she's still with me all those years is a modern-day miracle. So, yes, I did very well for myself. I did better than I probably should have. You're right about that. Brian, as always, enjoy the time with you. It's great to have you back on. Thanks to Anderson Insurance again for being a sponsor so we can have these reports and talks with you every Thursday. Have a great call amidst the plexiglass and everything coming up on Saturday night. And it'll be a late night, but hopefully it's a late night filled with a W and celebration for the Jayhawks.
That's right. And you're such a loyal affiliate and diehard listener to every single play. I know you'll be up till 2 a.m.
Absolutely.
Sean Kellerman signs off the scoreboard show for the latest Jayhawk football broadcast in a central time zone in broadcast history. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun, hopefully, chalking up a victory for KU.
Looking forward to it. Brian, have a great call. Talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
Right. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, our guest every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, the Farm, Home, Auto, Life, and Crop Insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.